sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And Skeleton Boys.
And welcome to the show. This week we will review... Oh, yeah. John. Hey, John.
Hey. What's up? There's a Mendocino Farms right down the street from me now. Everything is good.
No shit. That sounds... Yeah. I'm jealous.
I know. It's pretty wonderful. Which really means I'm just going to Postmates it because I'm not about to just...
Oh, no. Yeah, I wouldn't leave. Yeah, I wouldn't go there. No, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. No.
Otherwise, everything is super peachy. I heard there's like a writer's strike going on.
Oh.
It's barely affected me except for...
That's every part of your life.
Oh, yeah. Completely turned everything on top of its head. And I'm having the most difficult time navigating through it. But yeah, no, everything's fine.
Okay. Sounds good. Maybe we can decompress some of this.
Yeah. I'll just let you know, maybe if you want to hear how it's affected me this week, because we are definitely not recording 2 episodes back to back, so I'm going to pretend that it's 2 weeks from...
Okay, yeah, of course.
Like, I don't know how anything is going to work out. Just kidding.
Well, hopefully by the time this airs, the strike is over. Like in 3 weeks.
That is some hopeful thinking.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, it's fool's errand there. This week we review Scream 6. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner. We're watching Yellowjackets Season 2, Episode 6. I already forgot what you said it was.
What? You care? It is episode called Oui.
Oui.
Oui. Ha ha. Oui.
Oui. The Royal Oui. Yeah. Okay. So we didn't have an episode last week. It ended with Shauna potentially giving birth or getting into Danzig. It was a little confusing. And the time. So, but no. This episode, she had her baby.
Also... Yeah, Misty loved her new best friend so much that she killed her. We've all been there.
Yeah, we've all been there. Yep. Well, to be fair, she didn't push her. She fell on her own.
She was trying to intimidate her and intimidated her off a cliff by accident.
So she intimidated her by threatening her that she was going to kill her. But she didn't actually, you know, push her. As far as we know.
It didn't occur to me that she also fell off into where all the shit and piss go.
Ah, yeah. That's true. Nobody decided to look there.
No. Right. Not until a little bit later, I guess. But.
Oh wait, they're in a snowstorm, right? And Shauna's having her baby. So I guess they couldn't necessarily look for her.
Yeah, they're not looking for her right now. They just know that she's missing, and everybody's concerned because they know Misty is her friend.
Yeah. I guess the main thing was the baby stuff. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, basically the baby stuff. I mean, there's also like the whole... I forgot that there is one part that I'm going to point out a little bit later that is my favorite part of, like, you get a real idea of who Shauna really is, and it's kind of interesting. But I like the description for this episode: trapped inside on a snow day.
Revisit the highlights, humiliation, traumas of health class. That was like one scene. Dude, that's like not... Ty and Van help each other rewind. Yeah.
our sources, like the people that we hired to research this stuff, we call them the Internet Movie Database, are really reaching for some of these synopses.
Plot descripts. Yeah, they're a little plain. Like, that definitely happened. Not the way they're describing it, but that definitely happened. Yeah.
It's not a lie. It's just a withholding of the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
So this scene with Shauna having her baby and what happened after, I found really effective. Like, I was trying to, the whole baby thing was interesting, especially since, what's her name? Lost her confidence. Misty. Misty, like, lost her nerve.
Because she's all fucked up that she, like, intimidated her friend off a cliff.
Yeah. And she kind of snaps back into it. And I literally love the shot with her, like, with blood on her hands, meaning, like, she feels incredibly guilty. So far, she couldn't, like, actually do the, you know, help with the giving birth. And this was probably...
Can you help me out with this?
Sure.
I was going to say, just... The end of this description on IMDb also says Misty explores joining a classic cosmic American tribute band. I don't remember any of that. Am I looking at the wrong thing?
No, Misty joins.
It says Misty explores joining a classic cosmic American tribute band. Guys, folks at home, did we miss something? I don't remember that.
That isn't probably not correct. Spoiler? Maybe that's a spoiler for the future.
Maybe.
Ty and Van help each other. See, we'll see. They're being punny here. Ty and Van help each other rewind because Van owns a video store. Well, Misty explores joining. So this also might be like a fun punny thing. While Misty explores joining a classic cosmic American tribute band.
Don't remember.
That's that just sounds like a lie. Whoever read it.
That's a joke on the cult or whatever that is. The purple people, right? Is what she calls them.
Oh yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Like,
anyway,
they were like, yeah, no, it's stumping me. No, but like, what I was gonna say is, so, I mean, it's really, we tend to spoil this every part of this episode. So, yeah, like, she ends up having that. Huh?
Oh, I was going to say, because we're you know, you're horror movie review podcast that explores Yellow Jackets and what our researchers at the Internet Movie Database mean by their plot synopsis.
I don't know. I don't know what that. What that means, I mean, that's a wild thing to say. Maybe it is the purple. What do we call them? Purple eater band, or what? What are we talking about?
People eaters, or
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't
Either
know.
That or we just missed something. I don't know.
No, I'm pretty sure
it has
I got.
Been a pretty weird time for us, folks.
Yeah, to say the least. But yeah, no, I was gonna say that I found the whole sequence with Misty. I'm sorry, not Misty. But just Misty's on my brain now. This plot size is derailing our show. I don't know what they did to her, to do it to us. but what's her name? Shauna, young Shauna, teen Shauna. I found the whole all of that stuff really effective. Especially the way they, and I was trying to figure out why it worked so well, because so in the show they have the baby and then she has it for a couple of days and then she has like this nightmare thing where everybody's eating the baby but she wakes up,
yeah.
And you find out in reality she just passed out from losing so much blood and the baby died, so she's like kind of that. I don't know why that was so effective aside from the obvious stuff like the acting, the directing. It was all really well done, but
I think for me, and also let's not forget Blur song 2 was playing while she's giving birth.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Oh dude, there's some amazing needle drops this episode and the next episode 7, yeah, which we'll talk about.
Except
great.
For the, I mean, which we have not seen yet. We will watch this coming week.
Yeah, we're not ahead, guys.
We have not, it is not 2 weeks. Anyway. yeah, I think it was also, I don't know if you're on the same page, but, you know, the whole idea of like, oh, fuck, are they gonna eat the baby? Like, have these guys, because they've been setting up that they've gone so far, like a lot of these people have lost it to a point where like maybe they just would eat the fucking baby. But then I started thinking like, no, none of them have been set up to be that type of monster yet.
Yeah.
Like, honestly. And then it played out very nicely where when she comes back and everybody is sobbing because the baby died and they all feel guilty. And especially Misty is like fucking torn up about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because she just can't do it, and they make it seem like, oh, she can't do it because she's getting queasy, but it's not that. It's just that she fucking killed her friend by accident. I mean, she didn't really.
Yeah.
But then I like when Coach, what's his name? Bill? I don't know.
Ben?
Ben. Goes up, and then he just cannot do it. He's just like,
he's so checked out. Yep.
Yeah.
He's completely not useless now. And being part of this group, you know, he doesn't really want anything to do with them.
He doesn't want it. It feels like I'm going to make some assumptions and assume that he doesn't really want to be alive. I don't know what's going to happen in the next episode because we haven't seen it yet.
But yeah.
It feels like he has checked out to that
point. I tell you what, we're not doing, recording two podcast episodes in one day. It's definitely not what we're doing.
So just an educated guess. It seems like he has a lot of built up guilt about his past relationship and not being out of the closet is my guess.
I found that whole sequence, like you said, like just emotionally shattering, and it was really well done. And I was trying to figure out why did this work so well? Because it's expected. Like, the baby was never going to survive. It's not alive now. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty obvious where the story was going to go, since we are in the present and the past, so we can kind of make assumptions.
You know? Because the whole dream sequence where her like fever dream was so effective too. Like, there's this whole sequence where the baby just will not breastfeed and she's like panicking and freaking out. She goes over to where Jackie died and is like pleading for Jackie to help. And then the baby finally does latch on. And then Paisa comes in and goes, oh, the baby's actually breastfeeding. Okay. I'll go let the others know. And she's like, no, let me just have this moment to myself for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, and of course, it ends with her waking up, yeah.
And I think that's what it is. I think, that it's... Well, I think, for one, the show's never done that to us yet. So, as a show, they've never really, like, shown us something and then, like, immediately changed the contextualized meaning of it. Or, like, a dream sequence, quote-unquote. And I thought it was really well done. It was handled in a way that seemed real and practical. So that also was why I'm imagining that's why it was so effective. So, but now getting closer to the end of this episode, we kind of finally have all the women together, and it seems like they've all sort of convened on whatever Lottie's whatever commune. I don't know what to call it.
No, I don't think Thaisa and Van have gotten there yet, though.
I think it ends with them all standing there at the thing, and then you get the overhead. It ends with the overhead shot of that symbol being in the actual thing. So I want to say like Lottie. I think the way she's playing it is kind of like, this thing that they found in the whatever the forest is helping her, but she doesn't want to like admit it, or she's not like,
because I think it took over her life, and as soon as she was away from it, when she had all like the electroshock therapy and all that stuff, it is mostly her like the more I think about it, they play it more like she's having withdrawals, like she was she had an addiction problem and now she's having extreme withdrawals, and now that it's coming back, she's reluctant to have it again. And it almost seems like this cult that we, of course, we're against, but is also really just her trying to help people like her. I mean, yeah. I don't think it's a good thing, but, you know, it's not a bad thing.
She has a motive. Yeah, she's definitely exploited it. Because, like, that was actually one of the in the first episode when they got they debuted this episode one of season two. They Lottie was like, you know, she did all the, like you described, like she therapy, wasn't speaking, but then she did try to help another patient. So she's kind of like whatever power or whatever was given her, she's trying to use it for like a good thing. Her first time back, she tried to use it for something positive, right? And then she spun it into all these other kind of more questionable behavior things, right? More like the business and side also, of it. But
off the record, we did discuss that we believe that Simone Kessel was probably a soap actress from New Zealand. So, Simone Kessel, if you want to come on and talk to us about how you possibly have some soap acting experience, because we have some opinions on how you portray the character, but we're not going to be negative.
We're not going to be negative. We just think that, you know, there's other 90 icons. Who do we rattle off? Who's the good one?
Rachel
mentioned?
A. Cook.
Rachel like A. Cook, my, dude. Where?
Like my favorite.
Is she busy?
Right.
She's not as tall as, you know.
No, she did
Lottie.
He's All That, which was an awful movie. So.
Yeah, I mean, come on. There's. I even thought like Jeanine Garofalo. Come on. What are we doing here? Why not? Just bring another like, icon onto the show.
What is she doing?
Oh, with Thurman? What is she doing? What is she doing? Yeah.
And Rachel A. Cook that I did, like I said, I saw, and I finally saw He's All That because, full disclosure,
you finally saw
one of my favorite movies from that era.
Okay. Yeah.
It is not good, of course. I mean, obviously it wasn't going to be good. I'm sorry, guys, that we're on it, especially with the scene from Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rachel A. Cook comes in and plays not the same character, but it was also a little confusing because she's got the Christina Ricci syndrome where I was like, that can't be her. She's like too young. Nope, it's her. She just looks fucking fantastic.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's why it should have been Rachel A. Cook.
That's why it should have been. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That's way better.
No, you know what? Take it back.
Pull.
But yes. Then they would have to cast somebody that looks like her as a young version. But I think Fairuza Balk should have been the Lottie
character. Fairuza Balk should have been. Where's Neve Campbell? She's not at Scream.
Neve Campbell?
What the fuck?
That's true. She's Why not at Scream.
Another
know.
90s icon.
What's her name? Jennifer. Is it Jennifer? Also from The Craft. The main girl from The Craft. I forgot her name.
Oh, Robin Tunney.
Robin, yeah.
Tunney. She's. Toonie.
If you want to come on our show and tell us how to pronounce your name, that'd be great.
That'd be great. Yeah, no, she would have been great too.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I mean, we're just not saying anything bad about Simone Kessel. Anyways.
Oh,
yeah.
we also haven't mentioned there is a fucking fantastic scene with Natalie's character.
You were telling me about this, yeah. What's her name?
Yeah, I mean, Juliette Lewis's version of Natalie.
And Lisa.
Has like a breakdown.
Was it with Lisa?
Yeah.
I thought it was with Lisa,
I think, yeah. Has a breakdown with her, basically in front of her, saying like, now she understands. I think because of the whole reveal of this thing, whatever it is in the forest has followed her in the last episode, the episode before the break episode, or like there was no episode, where she's fully aware that Travis probably did end up committing suicide because he didn't want to deal with that, whatever that thing was anymore. Mm-hmm. And then that's what he meant by like, you were right. Basically we did bring something back with us, and I don't think she's not fully explaining this to Lisa because of course nobody's going to understand what they're talking about except for the people that were there.
Right. Yeah.
And now she's like, no, you don't feel bad about it. It's not your fault. He committed suicide. You know, he just had something inside of him that he couldn't get rid of, and how she's like crying. And she says like, no, I understand that because I have the same thing in me now. And it makes it seem like, oh, because she tried to also kill herself, that's what that meant, but it's not. It's like whatever this thing is that's following everybody, which I was about to say something. I mean, I'm making assumptions about what might happen in the next episode, so I'm not going to say anything.
Juliette Lewis has been around a long time and been so good for so long that she's not nearly as appreciated, but yeah. Man, she's a good actress. Damn, she's fucking good. Yeah,
she was in Christmas Vacation. Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, she was great.
And that's about it. She never did anything else, actually.
She did anything else, yeah. You know, I mean, she's a strong actor. All of these actors are really strong. All the older versions.
I mean, Frendusto Don was a great, Juliette Lewis vehicle for her to have her feet looked at by Quentin Tarantino.
Or whatever she was doing in Natural Born Killers. Yeah. I mean, she was excellent. Yeah. Also, Quentin Tarantino wrote that.
Cape Fear.
Cape Fear? Yeah, she's been in a really... I think that she's not, she's doing a lot more TV. She's doing a lot more fewer movies, right?
Yeah.
Still, excellent actress. Excellent actress. But yeah. Anything else happened in this episode?
Aside from Shauna waking up finally, and then of course, like the first thing she sees is like everybody. I think it's Ty is sobbing and says, "I'm sorry." And then she looks down and she sees Misty, and unfortunately, Misty's got blood on her face, so it looks really bad, especially because she just woke up to like thinking everybody was eating her baby.
Yeah. Another little thing that happened was Callie and Shauna go to the police, and Callie continues to lie for her, which was a nice moment where Shauna reveals that she did sleep with Adam, the artist guy, and she didn't want Callie.
Yeah.
And then we kind of figure out why. She didn't want any kids.
This was my favorite part of the episode. Shauna, at some point, kind of asks Callie if she slept with the cop, and she's like, "No, mom, blah, blah, blah." And then Shauna kind of basically says, like, "Damn," because then it would have been like dismissible if you had, but that's okay. like, damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's hardcore.
Exactly. She's not a very touchy-feely
mom. I don't think, like, basically all these women came out of this not really good people.
Yeah, just that whole life event, having to survive out in the wilderness and fucking eat each other, and it's like spooky shit happening. Yeah, you'd be a little fucked up.
It's just funny because you, at the beginning of this series, or just under the assumption that Natalie got out the worst, like she's the most fucked up, but she is probably the most grounded.
She stayed the most, she changed the least.
Yeah.
She's always been this way. So
Misty's a little like, she's very sweet, but has no problem killing people.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then Shauna's just like fucked up, has no remorse. And, I guess, actually, Van came out okay, but I have a feeling in this next episode we're going to find another reveal about her. I don't know why, but I just feel like there's something up with her. Anyway, who knows? Till next week.
She's like, "Do you want to know where I got these scars on my face?" She's Joker. Spoiler.
After she left her family business at the mortuary.
The mortuary. Yeah.
moved up north so she would stop seeing her dead brother's ghost. Hopefully we have some 6 feet under fans. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully. This shit revolutionized HBO. Either or. All right. So really good episode. Look forward to the next one. Let's move on to our main review of Scream 6. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Yes, for Scream 6. Coming in at, you know, I don't have a particular number for these three, so I'll just go in order.
All killers, no fillers. Yes.
Coming in at number 3 for Scream 6. Sisters fighting while navigating college. I think that's the whole... I don't think there's any slasher in this. It's just two sisters. Run of the mill.
Let me go.
Yeah. No, I can't.
Let me go.
I love you too much. Coming in at number 2. Unsurprising New York subway system.
Ah, there it is. Yep. Always murdered and nobody pays
nobody
attention.
Nobody gives a fuck.
Nobody gives a shit.
A little sidebar. I rewatched Last Action Hero. One of my favorite parts is towards the end when the bad guy is now in the real world and he like straight up murders some dude in the middle of like, it's like New York, which is, I mean, not New York, LA, like downtown, and nobody gives a shit. And it's like, I mean, people would give a shit, but also like, you know, nobody's going to run towards where somebody shot somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, and coming in at number 1, I guess, for Scream 6, Meta Movie finds B status.
Meta Movie. Oh.
Let me guess you loved it because you're a screamy, right? That's what they're called.
I am a screamer. I don't know what they call them.
The screamy memes.
I was very encouraged by the last movie. After not really like enjoyed 4, but didn't quite reset the Scream franchise the way I think they hoped. I don't think it made as much money or as critically lauded, even though it brought back Wes Craven and Kevin Williamson. So I was excited about 5, especially new directors, new cast of people. I liked all the cast. I was more, like you said, I was way more positive about it.
Yes.
I am disappointed. I will say this, again, my first thought. I am disappointed because I feel like there was a lot of missed opportunities with the sequel like this. And I don't think... I think it all really has to do with the fact that they shot this within like a year. Like they turned this shit around. 5, I think, made enough money to where like, let's greenlight a sequel, write the script, get it directed, you know, get it out in a year, which is incredibly difficult. That's, you know what I mean? Like
it is very difficult.
And
I'm assuming they shot this in like a month is what I'm guessing.
Probably. You know what I mean? At a very quick... very, very quick turnaround. So, I think it hurts the film because I don't think it's as ambitious as, say, 5. Though, I will say, we should probably start from the beginning. This probably has, again, classic, they've kept their tradition of keeping classic cold open of this
movie.
It is. Like, the way it was all set up.
Killer opening. You're welcome. I'm signing out. I'm Johnny with the nasty openers.
Nasty openers.
I had like high hopes because of this cold open was like, I thought fantastic, even though you do not kill my Samara Weaving. She is my life partner. She doesn't know it, but, I was very disappointed.
Yeah.
In that.
See, that's
cause I hate to say it.
So that's where I start having trouble.
Yeah. I was going to say, I hate to say it, but like, she is by far probably the best actor in the entire movie. I'm not trying to talk too much shit about everybody else's acting, but she was like, by far, in my opinion, like the best actor in the movie that they had. But I guess they also did that in the first Scream where, you know, Drew Barrymore is a very notable actress, too. And they just kill her off at the beginning.
So my thing was like this right off the bat. Like, yeah, it's super clever what happens, right? Because, and I mean, I don't think it's a spoiler to reveal what happens, but is that we meet the killer demask, and we see who it is like within the first like 5 minutes. We're like, holy shit,
Flash
what
Thompson.
The fuck's going to happen for the rest of this movie? Yeah.
Spider-Man's got to fucking stop yeah. Flash.
And I thought that was incredibly clever. It's like, oh my God, we've never started with the killer before. And how is that going to play out? Like, immediately that caught my attention. I was like, wow, that's actually really smart, clever, brave to kind of reveal who the killer is. Of course, he was not the killer. Nope. We find out very early, you know, he's part of just the cold open.
Yeah.
It's like a side kill. Tony, like somebody yeah. just mimicking the kills.
Tony Ravioli.
Tony Ravioli, because yeah, New York actor Tony Ravioli.
Rip, from Anaheim, California.
There you go.
You know,
there you go.
Grand Budapest
or
Hotel.
Flash Thompson in the Spider-Man.
Yeah. Or yeah. that kid in Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah, and I love that we follow him home, and then the real killers show up. And I thought that was a really clever way of doing that. Never seen that before. Really smart. The only thing is like, I feel like. This is when I started having problems with the movie, was because Samantha Weaving says
Samara.
That she's a professor of film. Excuse me.
Wow. You do not talk Samantha's... shit about my babysitter like that.
She is a film professor, and she falls for this guy's obvious trap.
She is the assistant
trap. But come on, but this is her study, her field study. I mean, that's when I was like, okay, brain is working overtime on making that make sense.
Yeah.
Even though something really cool happened, this character had to behave really stupid.
Yeah.
For that to happen, which was unfortunate. So.
Yeah.
Good cold open.
Oh,
lost me a little bit.
Notable. I think the very first time, I mean, I could be wrong. But probably the first time I've ever heard Samara Weaving use her actual accent, like just her regular voice in a film.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah,
it was fun.
The movie kicks off, and I was more of a fan of the new cast. I think you didn't particularly. You thought they were kind of boring. I think if I recall, you weren't as excited on them. I enjoyed them quite a bit. I thought the twist of the Sam character, you know, being Billy's daughter, estranged daughter, was a fun twist. And I like that they played with that a little bit here as well.
Yeah, that was cool.
She's not. Though it is a little hard to see Skeet Ulrich continue to be this locked in time 18-year-old. And, poor guy.
And I will say, I just don't think I do like the Mindy character, who's like the new what's his name?
Randy.
Yeah.
She's related to Randy. Yeah, she's in the she's actually Randy's kid or something, right?
Yeah, and then the Chad character. Which is funny that, you know, I guess they named him Chad on purpose. Yeah, he's good too. I'm not a big fan of the Sam Carpenter character. I don't think she's not my favorite actress. Let's put it that way. And also, unpopular opinion.
You didn't like
I'm
Jenna
not
Ortega.
A fan of Jenna Ortega. Yeah.
I think her popularity has finally reached a critical mass to where the backlash starts, and she feels overexposed. In this movie.
And also, I don't think she has fully matured or developed as a human being, because she has not figured out how to control her eyebrows, because they stay stationary. So there's no expression. Anyway.
I don't know. That's the West Hollywood Botox. Or what is it?
Yeah, I guess. It's like, hey, you're not...
Eyebrows don't move.
You're not playing Wednesday. You know, you can... You don't have to act like that, but okay.
Unfortunately, I think this is where
she gave everybody
shooting
COVID.
In year where it also suffers.
She gave everybody COVID.
She gave everybody COVID.
She was like, oh, I just acted anyway, because I, you know, I'm an actress, so I just went ahead and pushed through and gave everybody COVID.
Yeah. She changed everybody's lines. Yeah, so fuck Jenna Ortega now, but she's a little bit of cocky shit, but she's young enough, I guess, to be that.
Hot takes.
But I will say, like, yeah, I feel like setting it in New York was really fun, right? Take it out of fucking small town, setting in New York, but like, this was the smallest New York I've ever seen.
Yes.
We saw one subway and one apartment building. It's like, there was no time. You could tell there's no, again, this is where I feel like they're rushing. They're rushing to capitalize on the success of Five, where it's just like, why was that thing shot in Times Square? How cool would it have been if the first murder was in Times Square? Like, that would have been fucking huge, yeah, right? Like
the most you get to see of New York is a cold open killing, and that's about it. Because otherwise, yeah, I'm like, exactly. I have no idea where you're at. I mean, not like I'm a frequent visitor of New York. I'm not by any means, but like, a lot of it's like, oh, there's this this abandoned theater, which is like a shrine. One of the previous killers, what's his, Jack Quaid's, right? I think was supposed to be like his lair, I'm guessing. I don't know. I don't think that's a spoiler in any way.
An admirer of Jack Quaid's character.
Because Hayden Panettiere, Pelletier, whatever.
Kirby.
She comes back and she knows all this. And that was a thing. There was all these like red herrings to a degree where I'm like, I think I can basically tell you who the killers are because it's kind of not.
Except
for like.
Actually.
You couldn't.
No, I was going to say, it's the first scary movie ever where I actually figured out who the killer was. So like, I just guessed it. I was like, okay, I know what's going on. I don't know exactly what's going on.
There was only like one clever plot twist, which was also like very like one of those. I mean, I guess it's not clever. It's more annoying. There's a fake out. And it's like, okay. Sure.
Yeah. And the sad part, and we should mention this, is that Neve Campbell decided not to be a part of this project because they offered her too little money. I don't know if you had to know this or not, but like she passed because they didn't offer enough money, and she said that she couldn't like look at herself in the mirror if she like took less money to be a part of this. She loves this franchise, and frankly, she's like the star of this franchise, right? And to offer her less money, and to think that she also took it as a slight where if this was like a male counterpart doing the fifth or sixth movie, he would demand more money or be at a certain point. Yeah. Like, this wouldn't even be a question. So that's why she left, you know, begrudgingly. She just has no ill will towards the franchise or anything like that, or to any of the fans or anything, but just that it was just a business decision on her part, which makes complete sense, because if they don't value you, then why would you want to be on set, you know?
Yeah, so. No, absolutely. And she is the face of this fucking franchise, in my opinion.
Unlike Courtney Cox, who's like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So that's why she's in this movie.
And I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be that man, I guess, that points out. Even though I had this discussion with a friend and she said that Courtney Cox is very open about what she looks like, but let us know in the comments below how you feel about the work Courtney Cox has had since the previous film to this film, because it is pretty daunting in my opinion. I was completely pulled out of every scene she was in,
because
she does not, you know it's her, but for example, if I saw her in the street, I don't think I'd be able to recognize her. Like, okay. I don't know. It's just like the same surgeon that Mickey Rourke has. You know what I'm saying? Like,
No, I know. Yeah, it's just too much.
Man, yeah, it's
work
just like,
has gone on.
Like, yeah. I get it. I understand the pressure, but like, it's also like, whoa, like now, can't do much about it. I don't know.
And yeah, and I think we're, and this is what's so frustrating is that like, you have these legacy characters. I don't think they're particularly used very well. I think the new characters I found pretty interesting enough and excited to watch a new movie. I just, again, I feel like they were so shortchanged and given very nothing plot lines You know what I mean? Pretty much just like Sam's character is just like trying to just protect Tara, which is like pretty much all was really going on there, you know? And I just don't think they did enough. And I don't think the movie was nearly as clever as previous movies. So this definitely felt like...
Oh, and the whole like, oh shit, Ghostface uses a gun now. It is for that one quick scene you see in the trailer.
Yeah. And, but that, there was always some, like, I don't remember how this just is described. There's always some rule that Ghostface wouldn't kill people with a gun, but this guy does, so.
Because this, the movie. It's about something else now. This might as well be, like, This is a pre-spoiler. It might as well be the Fast and the Furious now happening in the Scream movies, because it's all about family.
I am, so, here's the, I don't know when to talk about this, but Kirby does drop a line that insinuates that Stu's alive, which I'm like... Which is what's his face? The actor, the other killer, the first movie,
Matthew Lillard. But Matthew Lillard.
They insinuate that he's alive, but, even though he got a TV smashed on his head.
Because they said like you can probably survive that. But another pre-spoiler wink at the audience. somebody does end up using that same TV because there's like that shrine or whatever, and I think that proves like oh no, there you go. I think it was just like a little like, what if, right? Like people probably have questioned it.
I like that. Yeah. As a screamer, I love the idea in the next movie of Stu being alive, and that it sets up perfectly because Sam is the daughter of Billy. So there's, I want to see what happens out of that, you know, like,
and I like actually. What, saying you're a screamy, by the way, but also I also like
okay, I sound like an award.
I also like it because I am a huge Matthew Lillard fan, so I would love to just see him come out of anything.
I would love to see him return to this. Yeah, he's actually gotten exponentially better as an actor. He's terrific now. We saw him in something where what was he in?
13 Ghosts, where it was like, he's not great. Anymore,
13 Ghosts. More recently, I forgot what he was in more recently. He was excellent in The Descendants, by the way. I recently watched that last year, and he was fucking great in that. So, was that Matthew Lillard? Shit. I think it was. Let's just say it was. Let's continue. I did like the subway sequence. That was super fun with all of the everybody dressed up as it's Halloween, so everybody's dressed up in like different horror characters and stuff.
The stab character.
There's a lot of Easter eggs. There's like Nope is in there, or I'm sorry, Us is in there, and the Babadook, and
yep,
there's quite a few characters.
I think it was like that was also a pretty contrived like scene because I don't understand why she just didn't run again, or like, I mean, at that point, if you know that there's somebody trying to kill you, you just saw your girlfriend get massacred in front of you, or like fall to her death.
Oh yeah, that was rough. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why you wouldn't just actually more. Also, the whole like actually, the obvious red herring character was kind of annoying to me. The other like buff, angry, not angry. The boyfriend? Yeah.
The new love interest? Yeah. Unnecessary, I think. He doesn't have time to really be anything more than the character who says, like, be careful or be the red. He's like, is he the killer? You know?
And he kind of acts like, what's his name from the Fast and the Furious franchise? The guy that betrays Dominic, but he
Paul
goes
Walker.
Like,
oh. Sorry.
The dude from...
R.I.P.
Oh, what is that actor's name?
John Cena?
No, he was in the first like
Jason Statham.
He was in the first two movies. Oh, yeah. He played Dominic Toretto as like
Died in Five.
Yeah, he died in Five.
Yeah, spoiler for the first. Did you hear this isn't going to be the last one? By the way, he says the last one's going to be a trilogy of last movies.
That's what I was gonna say.
It's going up to 13, baby.
It is the last one, but it is Fast and Furious 10, Part 1, 2, and 3.
Damn, he's gonna direct all of them.
Matt Schultz.
I think I'm done, by the way, with that franchise.
I don't know.
Matt Schultz. I'll be excellent actor.
I'll be done after part three of.
I think I'm done. He left. He scared away the director who kind of kicked all this off. He quit because he just couldn't deal with the nonsense. Justin Lin.
Oh. So. Oh, well.
I don't know what this franchise is anymore. Yeah. Han's never getting his revenge. So
pretty amazing, actually.
So.
Now we got Jason Momoa plays a bad guy who's kind of like... usually they would have like a nerdy dude be this sort of like comical. I don't know. And this is our podcast about Fast and the Furious 10.
Part one. Yeah, no. And then like, what was it? Oh, fuck. Who the fuck is in this? Michelle Rodriguez said that like, oh, we didn't need a director. We and her just got together and figured the fight out herself. Like, okay. All right.
Cool.
Yeah, all right. Enough of that. All righty. Let's... let's move over to spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers.
So did you guess who the killer was, John?
Yeah, I figured it was... Dermot... What's his name?
Dermot Mulroney. Not John Hamm.
Mulroney.
Dermot Mulroney.
I kind of figured it was probably going to be him because there was that whole fake out scenario where it's like, oh, is it? It might be Hayden Pelletier's character, Kirby.
Kirby. They're leaning too hard on it being her, but she's like a former. She's a she wouldn't.
Yeah.
Kill her because she's like a legacy character. You know what I mean? Like she's part of. She was on Forest, so she's not going to fucking do it. I didn't believe that at all, actually.
And that would have just been stupid, you know? Too. But, like, yeah, they leaned too hard on that, and it was also like, oh, okay. Well, but then there's a couple of, like, little plot holes that I think they were trying to make, like, clever red herrings, but it just sounded stupid. So the detective,
right.
I forgot his name, Dylan's character, asks a fellow employee, can you like check up on like what she did in the past and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, why do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like another red herring, but I figured it was probably he was a part of it. I didn't know how, but obviously that other kid that would show up later, the one that was like the outsider of the group in my head, I'm like, obviously he's the other killer. I did not call that they were related. It was a father-son thing. And that the detective's son was also Jack Quaid in the previous film. And I also did not call that they had a daughter, the one that got stabbed to death first, but you didn't really see her die. Yeah.
First time we ever had three killers. So that was kind of fun. But yeah, I totally called it. Because like when in the opening sequence when Sam is going back to, or no, she's checking up on Tara, right? The Tara and Quinn, the sister or whatever, are roommates. And she went to go check on Quinn like in the first 10-15 minutes and they catch him like Sam catches her, you know, having sex with some guy, and Quinn casually says that like, oh yeah, my brother died last year, and I'm like, come on, like why would you casually drop who's the other only other male character that died technically in this thing? It was just so obvious. I didn't call, and so like they explained that Quinn quote unquote died, and then the cop was like, so I figured like, okay, well they're a family going off revenge. I didn't actually predict the other kid, the curly haired kid, Ethan.
I kind of saw that. It was like too obvious to me.
And what they're trying to, I think what they were trying to do is like you know how in two it was Billy's mom who was the killer. So I think they were trying to echo that as well, that it was actually the family or somebody within the family coming getting revenge on the last killer.
And that's what I mean. Like a meta movie finally like found its B status. This is like, it feels way too much like a sequel movie. A little too.
Yeah.
Like somebody that's a fan of the movie is making like a fan version of a sequel almost.
And honestly, again, I totally blame that on the year turnaround. Like they could not, if they I bet if they had like a full production, maybe like 2 years, 2.5 years, but you know, by the time this thing gets released, to actually like sit down, write a story, you know, figure out what it is, it would probably be better than what we got, be honest. I think it really is the fast turnaround that hurt the movie overall for me.
And how are you going to write in Three Killers? That all like stab one character and not actually kill him? Because at the end, when Jenna Ortega's sad about Chad and then even has like an out loud conversation about him, like, okay, so he's not dead. And then he pops up and I'm like, okay, yeah.
I think it's a running joke because Chad gets always looked like he's gonna die or like at the, oh, for sure he's dead. He got stopped so many times, but he never dies. It's kind of almost similar to, they fake out the same thing in the Five. So it's like, I think part of this cast where he gets incredibly murdered.
So,
gruesomely murdered on screen, but not die.
Yeah, I mean, the shrine and seeing all the previous like stuff from the other movies was like fun to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't love this movie. But I told somebody, somebody asked me about it. Which is a funny thing to talk about. Like, a lot of people now, they come up to me that know about the podcast and ask me, not like random people, I'm not saying we're fucking popular by any means, but will ask me like, oh, what'd you think of this movie? And I'm like, oh, did I fucking watch that? I guess I did. I don't remember. So that's where I'm at, guys, in case like you think like, oh, he had a really poignant view on this movie. And I'm like, good. I'm glad I did. I don't know what you're talking about. These movies have hit, I think we kind of touched on it, but hit this Fast and the Furious sort of point for me where I'll watch them when they come out, but I'm probably not going to like all of them.
Yeah, I kind of, if there's, I don't know if there's going to be another one. If there is, I'm pretty sure there's always going to be another one, right? Yeah, they got to start thinking about, they got to spend more time on these stories. Because I felt like this is definitely a movie that didn't really say anything current about horror or what's going on in society, you know?
It definitely
spoofing
felt,
it or nothing. It's just sort of just a...
Yeah, it definitely felt like a cash grab to just keep writing on Jenna Ortega's fame. It almost felt like.
Mm-hmm. They definitely... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they lucked out with her and then blew up with Wednesday. And, you know, I think she's was cast in Beetlejuice. I think I read this week. So...
She's
just going to play all the Winona Ryder characters. Reality Bites too. She'd be in it. So, so I don't know, but I don't know. I mean, it's a hindrance, but I mean, I guess it is what it is.
Yeah.
But, alrighty. Any other last thoughts?
Just that. I think again, the Mindy character is probably my favorite. I can't wait to see that actress come out in other stuff. Maybe we can spend, we can probably spend maybe, I feel like she's somebody we can easily spend like 45 minutes of this podcast just talking about.
yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, we'll see what she does in the future, I guess.
She had the best, I mean, she had one of the funniest things at the end where she's like, she's already stabbed and she's like, she shows up at the end where they're all being taken to the hospital or whatever, the ending. She runs up and is like, hey, it's Ethan and Ethan and whoever, Quinn's the killers. She's like, yeah, you guessed it. Yeah, she's like, real late, just runs up on the. We got to do something. They're the murderers. They're the murderers. And so yeah, no, that was excellent.
She's great. Like, I don't know, she's like somebody that could probably
is excellent.
Two different roles, but it's kind of the same character, but one's more animalistic.
Eats dirt. Dirt. Alrighty, it's time over. Let's rate this thing.
Yellow jacket. Alright.
John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy Yo. The success spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Scream 6 4.5 sexy spooky bones.
You know, I think I did like it a little more than you, but I was just disappointed. I give it a 5. Yeah. I give it a 5, right in the middle. Bad, it was good. There's some good stuff. There's some bad stuff. More disappointed.
Yeah.
As a screamiter. What am I again?
A screamy. No, I'm a screamer.
Screamy.
I thought about giving it a 5. I don't know. I feel like I forgot what I gave Scream 5, but that was probably more of like a 5 for me than this one.
I mean, a proper podcast would probably write all these ratings down to reference, but
that's what we hired our researchers over at the Internet Movie Database. That's what we call them. It's our personal research company.
Yes, it's true. Yeah, definitely. Can't do without. All right, guys, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky. What's your favorite spooky bones movie? Mm-hmm.